This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Deacon Mark Smith.
Good morning. Welcome everybody here this morning, Little Church, and all of those who are in the telephone ministry. I am Mark Smith. I'm a deacon here at the church. Pastor Bob is off doing some tent meetings, and so you're stuck with me. Let's begin with our prayer request. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have in you. We have in you a high priest, one to whom we can come and bring our prayers and petitions and know that we will receive an answer. Father, we pray this morning for Sue Angelo, our sister, and sister Rosie, as they are not doing well. We pray for Lou D'Amato, who's recovering from COVID, and we're glad to hear that Lou is up and walking around, still recovering. We pray for Grace and her health issues, and Scott. We pray for Butch and Linda and Butch's health issues. Father, we hold Lucy and George up this morning as they're in the hospital, and we pray for their son, Rick, who's starting cancer treatment. We pray for our brother, Joey Schuler, as he has medical issues that he's going through, and same for Lisa and Tiffany. We pray for Penny Parcelli, Father, as she is with COVID and pneumonia. We ask that you would be with all of these and help them to recover. We pray for Lewis, Jane's sister's health issues. We pray for John, his treatment for pancreatic cancer. And pray that the tumor will shrink. And we pray for Robin Pieran with cancer. Father, you know the needs of her heart. You know the family members that we love and care for who are ill and in need of healing. Father, you know the family members that we care for who are indeed in need of salvation. Father, we come before you with our prayers and petitions, knowing that you will have an answer for us. And we pray, Father, that the answer is something that will make us feel well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our sermon this morning is taken from John chapter 12, verses 20 through 36. It's entitled, "We Would Like to See Jesus." This is appropriate. It leads up to Easter, Christ's crucifixion. And let's begin. "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethesda of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.' And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip went to tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto the eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." And then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said that an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light." These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. You see in this short chapter that this is where Jesus says the hour is come. Not the hour is coming, but it is come. It's at this point in time that Jesus is announcing his death. He is saying that I am going to go die on a cross. And he says it in the language that I'm sure the people of the time understood. It's a little difficult for us to hear. But when he speaks of being lifted up, he speaks of being hung on a cross. If you could spend an evening hanging out with a celebrity, who would you want to hang out with? Perhaps a world-famous politician or a professional sports figure. Or maybe be behind the scenes of a tour of your favorite band. But what would you do if you actually got to meet your favorite celebrity face to face? Would you be calm and composed about it? Or would you blurt out something? A young man named Garrett wrote on Twitter about the time he met Dolly Parton. And she autographed a CD for him and he blurted out, "I've loved you for over 20 years. And in her irrepressible way, Dolly grabbed his hand and said, "Oh, honey, don't stop now." We all hope we could stay calm and composed when we meet our favorite celebrity. We hope we would do anything too foolish, like not recognize them at all. In this morning's Bible passage, some men from Greece were seeking to meet Jesus. I wonder if they were nervous about their potential encounter with him. Did they have questions for him when they met him, or did they blurt out something embarrassing? If there has been cell phones in Jesus' day, would they have asked him to take a selfie with him? We don't know for sure, but we know that the Greek culture at that time idolized philosophers and philosophies about the meaning of life. Every new page, I'm going to hit that microphone. Yet these Greek men came to a Jewish Passover festival looking for a humble Jewish rabbi named Jesus. What did they hope to find? Jesus was not a philosopher. No one would compare him to Plato or Aristotle. We have nothing that he wrote, and not much of what he said. He did not employ complex sentences or high-sounding ideas. He spoke mostly in parables, and he used the language and the symbols of the common listener. So why is it then that 2,000 years later, we're still hanging on his every word? Why is it that hundreds of thousands of brilliant men and women have studied every syllable that was recorded of his teachings, and whole libraries of books have been written concerning his impact on human history? It was not what he said, it was who he was. There was something about the very person of Jesus himself that fascinated people of every generation for over 20 centuries. Since he first caused a commotion in that little region called Galilee. That is why those words first spoken by some Greeks and the disciple Philip are so important to men and women and young people. "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." That is the most sincere desire of our hearts. We want to see Jesus. We want to experience him for ourselves. The secondhand report is not enough. We long to be in his presence. We want to assure ourselves that he is real, that he is relevant, and that he is resurrected. We, like Thomas, want to put our hands into his hands and feet and side. We want to know him as our Savior and friend. We want to see Jesus. This is part of why we are in here worshiping today. We haven't come to learn that the latest political philosophy or to celebrate some dead theology. The hymns are lovely, the atmosphere is cordial, and the prayers are reassuring. But none of it counts for anything if we cannot see Jesus. It's taking extra long so I won't hit the microphone. There we go. We would like to see him because something is missing in our lives. Once we had such high hopes, such great dreams, such a fresh sense of Christ's presence in our lives. But time has taken its toll. There is something missing. We would like to see Jesus. Our lives sometimes seem so tedious, so lacking in vitality, as if we were on a continual treadmill. Most of us think of treadmills as high-end exercise equipment. But you know, the treadmills were originally invented as a form of punishment. Some of you thinking, I can believe that. In Victorian England, treadmills were placed in prisons, and prisoners were forced to walk for hours each day on a treadmill as a form of mindless, meaningless punishment. Many people suffer from such a deep sense of meaninglessness that their lives feel like the treadmill, constantly moving but going nowhere, always busy but producing nothing. Something is missing in our lives. Some of us are life tired. That's a new word that our German friends have coined. There are many languages that have profound words for expressing the feeling that we can't quite put into words. The German language often combines two words to make one new one. One new concept. And that's what the German speakers have done, to create a word that literally means life tired. I think a lot of us can relate to the idea of being life tired in the Farsi language, which is spoken in Iran. There is a word that means to practice holding sadness. It conveys the idea of just carrying sadness all the time, like a burden you can't put down. And there is a Russian word that refers to a sensation of great spiritual anguish, often without any specific cause. It may take us a lifetime to pronounce any of these new words in the original language, but we can instantly relate to their meaning. Something is missing in our lives, and there is nothing we can do, nothing we can say. No earthly substitute that can fill the sense of longing. We would like to see Jesus. We would like to see him because some of us have never experienced the peace that Christ brings. We need something to give our lives not only meaning, but also new vitality. We are empty, we are bored. And because we are empty and bored, we have no vitality, no zest, no drive. There is an energy crisis in our lives, and it has nothing to do with oil or nuclear power. It has to do with that inner emptiness, that we are tired, listless, and apathetic. What we need is a new heart, not a donated or a man-made heart, but the heart that Jeremiah spoke of, a heart that only seeing Jesus can save. There is a story about a man who wanted to honor his parents and their devotion to their children. The story tells of how he was grieved by his mother's death and wanted so badly to understand the secret of her faith, which strengthened her in life and gave her the peace and courage to face her death. So he took his mother's gold-rimmed glasses and faded prayer book and sat in her favorite chair. He opened the book, opened the prayer book because he wanted to hear what she had heard. He put on her glasses because he wanted to see what she had seen. And he sat in her place of prayer and devotion because he wanted to feel what she had felt. He wanted to experience what they had so deeply centered her and empowered her. Nothing happened, though. It did not work. That is not too surprising. He needed a faith of his own, not his mother's faith. This man needed to see Jesus. That is what he was missing. It wasn't the chair or the prayer book or the glasses that shaped his mother's character and brought her such peace. It was her relationship with Jesus. His mother saw Jesus and the truth that shone from her life in such a way that it caused her son to crave that same experience. That is what all of us need, to see Jesus and to know that he is real and that he is with us, and that life's trials and treadmills. Pastor John Jewell tells of a man named Charles who was lying in a hospital bed near death. Anyone who knew Charles would tell you that he was not a nice man. He drank too much. He treated his wife and children badly. So the nursing staff was a little surprised when Charles asked for a chaplain. Charles asked the chaplain to pray for him. "What do you want to say to God?" asked the chaplain. "Tell God I'm sorry for the way my life turned out. Tell him I'm sorry for the very way I treated my wife and my kids, and that I've always loved them." "Sure, I can do that," the chaplain said. "Is there anything else?" Charles hesitated. "Tell God that I know I have no right to ask this, but I would like to be able to live with him." The chaplain bowed his head and together prayed with Charles and told God everything that Charles had said. The next morning when he came to visit the nursing staff, told him that Charles had passed away in the night. Charles nearly missed seeing Jesus, but it's never too late, if that is the desire of the person's heart. Jesus came to show us that one day we can live with God, and we don't have to deserve it. But before the creation of the world, God planned to give his life on the cross to guarantee it, no matter how much of a disaster our lives seem to be. There is one who offers us more grace, more peace, more love than we could possibly ever exhaust in a million lifetimes. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus so that we may obtain new meaning, new vitality, new possibilities, and the blessed assurance that we are never alone. My friends, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No wonder we all long to see him, and we can see him. Through the eyes of faith, we can perceive him in our midst. He is there. He is available to us today. To all who would receive him, he is there. Let us take new hope, new courage, and let us commit ourselves anew to his work. For we have beheld his glory, the glory that is the only begotten of the Father. And someone has so beautifully said, Christianity is not a philosophy. Jesus came to preach. It was a life Jesus came to impart. Won't you receive the life he has to give? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to see Jesus. So often in our lives, we want to have it our own way. So often in our lives, we tend to forget that Jesus is there. We forget his spirit indwells us, that he might always remind us that we belong to the Father. Father, we pray that we might again, in a new light, receive our Lord and Savior, that we might again, in a new light, turn our faith to God and reach out to him and say to him, Father, we would see Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.